Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Informa 10-month trading update. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Richard Menzies-Gow. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. It's Richard Menzies-Gow, Director of IR at Informa. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. I know it's quite a busy day, so we're going to crack on through as quickly as possible. I'm here with Gareth Wright, our Group Finance Director. We're going to do the same pattern as we normally do. So Gareth's going to spend just a couple of minutes giving you a few highlights on recent trading, and then we'll jump straight to Q&A. Gareth, over to you.
Thank you, Richard. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining the call, as Richard just said. Today's headline would be that as Informa comes to the successful completion of the Growth Acceleration Plan, it remains steady as she goes, or maybe even steady as she grows, writing the headline. Our renewed focus on growth is paying off, with steady improvements in our underlying revenue growth, and we're building real capability across the business, giving us the capacity to do more. Whilst this is a revenue update, I would also add that our cash generation continues to be strong, underpinning our decision at the half year to raise the dividend commitment to at least 6% growth in 2017. You'll notice that we are reporting 10-month underlying growth numbers today. This reflects the fact that we're reporting a bit later on November 9th this year, and that we've already collected and processed the results for the month of October. So the benefit of this is that there are only now 2 months to go until the year end. Overall trading has remained in line with our expectations, and we remain on track for the full year. As the statement shows, group underlying growth for the 10-month period to the end of October was 3.2%. As expected, this is a little lower than the half-year rate, mainly due to the seasonally lower growth in global exhibitions during the third quarter, which we outlined at our half-year results and which is consistent with previous years. This is a trend that we expect to continue in Q4, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a second. As a reminder, the growth that we're reporting is underlying revenue growth, which includes the pro forma growth on acquisitions from the date of completion. So Penton's year-on-year growth is included in this, within these numbers, and as is YPI since we bought it in February. We also adjust for the phasing of events in this calculation to give you a better like-for-like picture. However, we do not strip out events closures or pruning. Turning to the divisions, firstly, across our two B2B events businesses, Global Exhibitions and K&N, we delivered underlying revenue growth on a combined basis of plus 5.2% in the first 10 months of the year. So this provides you with a single events growth figure, and it's probably more useful when comparing across other events groups, which typically have a mix of exhibitions and convexes in their portfolio. Within this, our largest division, Global Exhibitions, continues to demonstrate the benefits of scale, strong brands, and international reach, delivering 9.2% underlying growth across the 10 months. As you'll recall, we reported 11% growth in the first 6 months of the year when we run the vast majority of our top 30 major fast-growing exhibitions. As we highlighted at that time, and as we've seen over the last few years, we always have seasonally lower growth in the second half. Despite this, we've had some great successes in the last couple of months. In international yachting, both Monaco Yacht Show and the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show went really well, the latter particularly impressive given the limited amount of time we had to pull the event together after the disruption caused by Hurricane Irma. And elsewhere in health and nutrition, we had another strong U.S. show in Supply Side West, whilst in real estate and construction, Cityscape Global in Dubai performed really well and a bit better than expected. Now, just to be clear on the 9.2% growth number, we are expecting the last 2 months of the year to be broadly flat in exhibitions, and this reflects the fact that we largely only have small events left to run, offering relatively low growth, plus we also just ran in November our printing event, IPEX, which, as expected, was down on its previous edition. But the overall message would be that Global Exhibitions remains in great shape. It is a focused, strong set of international brands in attractive and growing verticals with lots of opportunities for future growth. And this is certainly borne out by booking trends into 2018, which remain very positive. Turning to our other B2B events business, Knowledge and Networking, we also continue to make good progress through the last few months. All the work we've done in recent years to streamline and focus the business into major brands in the three core verticals of life sciences, TMT, and finance is starting to pay off. And in fact, for the first time since we launched Gap, this business recorded a positive quarter of growth, taking the first 10-month underlying figure to a 2.7% decline, improving from the 4% decline we reported at the half year. And this includes strong performances in finance through brands such as Super Return and Finovate, in life sciences through BioEurope and Boston Biotech, and in TMT with events like Internet of Things World. During the period, we also completed the sale of our German-Swiss domestic conference business to Euroforum to Handelsblatt. This was a good outcome for both sides and will further increase the focus on our international brands as we go into 2018. So the key message on K&N will be that we now have a business with forward momentum, with greater focus, and with plenty of opportunities to pursue. The last 2 months of the year are really important for this business, but there's no reason to believe we can't continue with the improving trend, setting us up well to deliver on our target of positive revenue growth across the year in 2018. Coming on to our data and information services business, Business Intelligence, here we also continue to make steady and consistent progress, reporting 1.7% underlying revenue growth in the first 10 months of the year, up from 1.1% at the half-year stage. This improvement reflects the continuing benefit of product launches and platform improvements as the Gap investments we have made through the last years pay off. We also had a number of successful launches in agribusiness, transportation and finance through the period, and most recently this week through an exciting new product launch at EPFR Global. And this is driving all these things together are driving improving trends in annualized contract values and consolidating our average subscription renewal over 90%. Supporting this core subscription revenue, we continue to develop our contingent revenue. Our relaunched consulting business has made steady progress to date with good levels of customer engagement and an expanding pipeline of activity. And our marketing services, we recently relaunched the Penton business as Informa Engage, giving it a stronger identity in the market in time for the busy fourth quarter period. So the key message on BI, therefore, is continued and steady, consistent improvement with the benefits of increased customer focus and product investment really now paying dividends and giving us visibility and confidence on delivering further improvement in growth through the end of the year and into 2018. In our scholarly research and reference-led content business, Taylor & Francis, the trends remain solid and consistent, with modest positive underlying growth of 0.9% through the first 10 months of the year. This reflects very similar trends to those we've seen through the last 18 months, with continued strong growth in our journals business, a flattish performance in upper-level reference-led books, and more volatility in the volume-driven lower-level textbook market. We continue to focus on investing in our content and developing our strengths in areas offering growth. Most recently, this saw us add Dove Medical Press to the portfolio, a leading independent open access publisher. This expands our portfolio of open access journals to over 100 and gives us more capacity in this exciting and growing area of the market. So the outlook for academic publishing remains robust and consistent. The last 2 months of the year are important for our books business, but the trends look fair, giving us confidence that we can deliver a second consecutive year of modest positive growth. So overall, as I said at the start, I think the message will be steady as she goes as the growth acceleration plan finishing line comes into sight. We still have two important months of the year to trade, but we are confident that we can deliver a good outcome across the year, underpinned by all the benefits of scale and capability that the growth acceleration plan has given us. And more importantly, we think this should set us up well for 2018 and beyond, giving us a solid platform for future growth and scale. I'm happy to take any questions that you have, so we'll pass it back to the operator just to outline how the questions come in.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. Once again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we will take an opening question from William Packer of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my question. It's Will from Exane. Firstly, could you just comment on Penton's performance for the 9 months and for the 4-month period? Has it accelerated from flat organic revenue growth we saw there? And I assume all the organic growth numbers we have you provided include Penton like they did at the half year. Secondly, could you just talk through the factors that you expect to drive the acceleration of growth next year at BI? Does consulting have to take off, or is that those incremental bits of the business not important, that it just assumes that the core subscription business does well? And then finally, in terms of the books business, we've seen from some of your peers that actually things have been a little better than in previous years. Does that bring some upside risk to your guidance, or is that within the guidance? Basically the easy comps and the fact that the peers of the industry is in a better place. Thank you.
Sure, thanks, Will. Good morning. In terms of, let's work through them in the order that you raised them there. Yes, so Penton is included. The way the underlying growth calculation works, we include the current year numbers for Penton and then bring it into the comparative, assuming we owned it for the full 10 months of 2016. So Penton is fully included in these results, and therefore where the Penton performance is a little bit weaker, for example, in areas like print, that is fully taken into account of in terms of the growth numbers that we're reporting today. I mean, overall, we'd probably say Penton is reasonably flattish in the or flat in the first 10 months. The exhibitions performed really well. But they were largely in the first 6 months of the year. But the other areas are performing solidly and in line with our expectations overall. So happy with how that's going and happy with the way the business is performing and how it continues to be integrated into Informa. On business intelligence, I wouldn't say anything specifically takes off. It's just basically a overall general improvement in the performance across the business. Consulting has been a good thing, as I just said in the kind of introduction. It's gone well, and marketing services has been relaunched. But there's no one specific area we need to come off to deliver the improved performance. Really, it's across the board in terms of all the revenue streams.
And on books, just quickly, I think our view would just be the trends haven't changed a lot. The truth is, though, in the upper-level books, I think, we obviously have a decent size business, and I think the trends are still sort of broadly flattish, and it's not easy, really. What's driving that market is just budget pressure, flat budgets, and journals getting allocated first. In the lower-level textbooks, we're just not big enough. We're really too small to be a bellwether on the market. We're really a bit part player on what's a high volume market. So I think the others have a much better read on the market. What seems to be driving them more is just, levels of returns and so on and so forth. So certainly for November, December, which are obviously important months for books, we're planning on it still remaining pretty similar to what we've seen and, still, softish, particularly in the lower level.
And just to come back on one of your comments, which was very interesting, with Penton having maintained its flat organic revenue growth for the second part of the year, but exhibitions being a much lower portion of the revenue, should we therefore infer that the non-exhibitions part of the business is improving?
Exhibitions is quite a large portion of the revenue. So that is, as a factual point, some one or two of the areas are, slightly better. Print has been a bit better than we thought it would be, for example. But overall, I think it's where the business, we're happy with how the business is performing, and we think it's kind of continuing to make that transition away from print and towards exhibition and digital revenue streams in the way that we hoped it would. So overall, I think it's evolving in line with what we thought would happen.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Ian Whittaker of Liberum. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. Two questions, please. First of all, just in terms of events. So as you said, you've got good visibility going into 2018. How should we think about sort of events growth moving forward? Not obviously, you're not going to give us specific guidance, but just in terms of when looking at the potential growth rate vis-a-vis this year. What do you think the trends we should consider? The second thing, I just want to ask about the Dove acquisition. I mean, if you actually look at the sort of Dove, it's actually had a decidedly mixed press in the past. It's been kicked out of the Open Access Scholarly Association, and then reinstated. There's been concerns over some of the articles it's published and so forth. Just wondering sort of how satisfied you are that all the problems sort of that Dove has had in the past have been rectified.
Thanks, Ian. Yeah, so just taking them in the order that you raised them. So on the events growth, we are, as we said in the statement, you know, registrations and contractual bookings are going well for 2018. At this stage, you really have visibility over the first half of the year. You don't know very much about the second half, but the first half is obviously the stronger part of our portfolio. So that gives us, and the larger part of our portfolio, so that gives us good insight into how the business is going to perform. As you said, at this stage, we won't give the specific guidance for 2018 revenue for exhibitions. But we would expect the bookings that we're seeing gives us confidence that we can produce another year of underlying revenue growth ahead of the market in that division.
Can I just ask on that? I mean, in terms
and just on Dove.
Sorry, I was just going to ask, just on that sort of comment about the sort of bookings. I mean, the bookings for 18, what you're seeing now, are they sort of similar to what you had at comparable stage this time last year?
Yeah, as a percentage of what we would expect the business to do, yes, they are comparable. So obviously in terms of that, you are building growth into what you'd expect them to do, and they are coming in a similar percentage year on year of your expected outcome. So the percentage is consistent year on year, but that incorporates a level of growth ahead of the market.
Just on Dove quickly, I mean, you're right, there's a few sort of wrinkles and so on through the past. I think if you look across the OA market, it's a pretty nascent market. And so, you know, across various OA sort of startup businesses, you know, as the market's evolved, different businesses have had various sort of issues with you know, a lot around how they scan and scrutinize papers and so on and ensure they've got the right level of peer review and quality and so on and so forth. And I think through the years they've got better and better at that. So I don't think we have any issue with it. If you look at their portfolio of journals, they've got a range of new journals and a range of older ones, some which are, many of which are indexed in Web of Science and several that have impact factors. So that really is how you would sort of scrutinize the quality of the journals and so on. So we're pretty comfortable with that. And the key thing with Dove, it gives us the capacity to do more in OA, you know, which is something I think we needed just to, in a market that's grown quite nicely, just the ability to do more.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian.
We will take our next question.
Next question, operator.
Apologies. We will take our next question from Catherine Tate of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, everyone. Just a couple of quick ones from me. On BI, I know you sort of talked about not needing, you know, something to particularly take off for to reach that sort of 3% plus growth. But I wonder if you can give us just a sense of how that you expect that to be broken down in terms of, you know, volumes, price, new products, etc. And also, if you'd give us a sense of how you expect the Penton growth trajectory to trend over the next year or so, and perhaps more specifically, whether or not it's likely to reach the sort of broader growth rates that you are sort of now seeing within BI.
Okay, hi, Catherine. In terms of the BI growth, it's a combination of different things. One of the key things we have in terms of the subscription revenues, which are about 70% of the BI business overall, is that there is a sort of pretty regular launch of new and refreshed products happening at the moment through that business across all six of the verticals it operates in. And a lot of these product launches and refreshes are the outcomes of the investments made through the Growth Acceleration Plan. And the key thing about that is, whilst the subscriptions renew across the year in BI, there's definitely a weighting towards sort of December, January, February, and therefore getting those product launches into the market now is helpful in terms of renewal conversation. So that's a thing that gives us confidence about it. And certainly in terms of the pricing conversations, those are also, you're better set up for those if you've got new content in the market that is delivering on what the customers want. So both new product and price are easier conversations, or not relatively easy, they're not easy, but relatively more straightforward conversations in the environment that we find ourselves now. And that's not to say that the other areas aren't growing. As you said, consulting, et cetera, continues to do well, and marketing services is rebranded and refreshed as well. So between those three areas, you really are looking at the majority of the revenue. And therefore, probably in order, in fact, the new product is probably the most helpful. And then in terms of price, that's a value add to a lesser extent.
I think the only thing, Captain, just to add to that, is if there's an area we haven't been as good at today, it's probably on new business pipeline. We've been very good at upselling to existing customers and strengthening renewals, and as new products come through, getting more value out of existing customers. The focus going into 18, and there's a lot of work going on around the sales teams and the account management and so on, is building a better and deeper and broader new business pipeline. So operationally, that would be a sort of focus. I think the other question you had was on Penton. I mean, listen, 100% when we bought Penton, we knew, and the business plan was that it was for flat growth overall this year. It was pretty flat the year before. As the mix continues to evolve, clearly now it's not an entity, Penton, anymore. It's now been integrated into the business, so it gets more difficult to track it intricately. But ultimately, the business model had us seeing, moving into positive growth next year on a revenue line, and improving towards the growth rate of the overall group over the next couple of years. So 100%, that will be the business plan, and we're on track for that, definitely.
Very much.
We will take our next question from Steve Lugley of Investec. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. That's a new derivation of my name, but there you go.
Okay.
Couple of questions. One, just on KNN, is the 2.5% excluding any of all of the commodity stuff that you're exiting or due to exit? And is it directly comparable, therefore, to the minus 4% in the first half? And then the second question is just going back to academic. I'm sort of slightly surprised that books aren't a little bit better given market trends that we've talked about, and I understand where your position. But just comment on that quickly, if you can, and then just confirm, I think you said before journals were growing around 3% overall. Can you just sort of confirm whether that's still true? Thanks.
Hi, Steve. So in terms of knowledge networking, the way our underlying growth calculation works is that we include a full year of acquisitions and disposals in the current year, and then we adjust the comparative to be consistent. We adjust for events phasing, but we do not adjust for product that's been withdrawn from the market. So to come to your specific question, the KNN growth at in this trading statement is consistent with the half year basis. We have not adjusted out any commodities, products, or anything like that, to your specific question. To be clear also, we have not stripped out the Germany business. The Euroforum business that we mentioned has been disposed. That business's performance is fully included in the 10-month trading statement we're announcing, and that would be slightly weaker than the average, but that is included in the numbers. So it is, the 10-month number is directly comparable to the 6-month number that we released early in the year. In terms of academic, I think books is okay. Journals is certainly the more consistent performer and is delivering revenue growth consistently in line with what we said previously in the year. So that hasn't changed. But likewise, books has been consistent as well. And perhaps what you're seeing is a little bit more consistency than you saw in the previous year. That's perhaps where some of the different trading patterns are coming through. So it's not perhaps quite so up and down or lumpy as it was in last year. But overall, broadly, the message we would give for academic publishing is it's been a steady year, and that it's progressing towards its targets overall that we're comfortable with. And as I say, just perhaps a little bit steadier and more consistent this year than last year.
Great. Can I just follow up on the KNN? So I think I understand what you're saying about including the disposals on a pro forma basis. But I suppose the question is, if you strip out the commodity stuff that you've sold in total for the year, what would the first half like-for-like be, and what would the 10-month like-for-like be, please?
Yeah, I think it would be probably a touch better, but we haven't sort of broken that number out. We traded it for the 10 months, so we're including it in our numbers. What we might do at year-end, if it makes sense for 18 guidance, is to give you kind of a view then of how the 18 guidance kind of improves from the 17 guidance. But I think we'll see how the business trades out in the last 2 months of the year, first of all, before we get into 18 guidance.
I think your comment probably is mainly around the German business we sold, Steve, which completed on the 1st of November. I think we said previously that that was declining above the rate of the division. So clearly once that drops out from the 1st of November, that will help the underlying sort of growth trend.
I'm quite surprised that you're saying it's only slightly better, given what we know that the commodity businesses must be...
You can do the maths on that, because I think we said it's about a £30 million business, the German business, and declining worse than the sort of underlying rate, which was 4% of the half year. So you can sort of back the maths out a bit. It will certainly help going into 18. It's why we're confident, given the streamlining we've done, the work we've done in the business, that, you know, the goal is to get that business to positive underlying growth in 18, and I think we feel we can do that.
Okay, great, thanks.
We will take our next question from Ruchi Malaya of Bank of America. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, morning. On BI, can you give us an idea of how far we are through the rollout of the new products? I know you just mentioned that focus on getting the products out over the next few months, but then at that point, I mean, can we talk about being 50%, 80%, 90% sort of through the rollout, or is there a lot more to come through 18? And then on academic publishing, I guess the deal like Dove Medical, you talked about it giving you capabilities in areas like OA. I guess the question is, do you think you have enough scale within that academic business to sort of compete with your bigger peers? Thanks.
On the good morning, Richie. On the BI rollout, we're talking about the Growth Acceleration Plan products coming to market now, and we're certainly working our way through that program. But what we've been keen to stress in terms of the Growth Acceleration Plan is that whilst we change the kind of culture and operation of the group to deliver that strategy, exiting the Growth Acceleration Plan, things aren't going to change. So whilst we're going through currently the catch-up rollouts that the Growth Acceleration Plan funded, going forward you should expect a continuous and regular drumbeat of product rollout from BI. So it's not like we're going to go through this program and then stop. Basically, it's just the start of a new cultural change, a new way of operating in that division that they are looking to update on a continuous ongoing basis across the portfolio in the product. So as I say, you shouldn't expect to see it basically stop or come to an end as such. It's just the Growth Acceleration Plan that finishes, and the cultural and operational change in the division will continue going forward.
And just on your question on academic, I think we feel certainly in our core journals and upper-level books business we have enough scale. I don't think we feel squeezed. We're definitely viewed as a major publisher, and we get access and entry, and our customers tend to buy on subject focus. And, you know, if they're an institution focused in our areas, then we tend to be top of their list, you know, to talk to. But if they're focused in other areas where we have less less focus, then, you know, they'll tend to put more emphasis elsewhere. But we certainly don't feel squeezed by our sort of size in the core business. In lower-level textbooks, as I said earlier, we're definitely subscale. I mean, we're a bit part player. You know, we've just acquired businesses along the way that's given us some exposure to that. So we're definitely not in the volume game that the big players are in that market. And then you look at newer areas, which broadly you might term under academic services, academic digital services, whether it be analytics, author services, open access, social media type stuff. I mean, we're relatively new to that, and we've made a few acquisitions. You'll recall we invested in a business called Colwitz earlier this year, I think it was. Clearly in OA we've been building, and Dove adds to that. And we've been investing through Gap in other areas around analytics and so on, but we're relatively new to that. But that market's relatively new. The attraction of it is that you can tap into other budgets other than the core library budgets, and there's a bit more growth in those sort of markets. So I think you'll see us gradually do a bit more as the investments start to bear fruit, but that won't change overnight.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Next question, operator.
We will take our next question from Patrick Wellington of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, morning everybody. A couple of questions on exhibitions. You're hoping to grow at above the market growth rate next year. So what is the market growth rate for next year? Secondly, you're saying exhibitions is flat in Q4. Q4 is normally a bit weaker, but it did grow last year. It grew by about 3% in the fourth quarter. So are we seeing an underlying slowdown there? And you might link into that a bit about phasing. These numbers are ex-phasing, so can you tell us whether phasing is positive or negative for exhibitions in Q4? And then third question is cost saves at Penton. 14 million, I think, is the number. Any view on whether that is now likely to be exceeded?
Morning, Patrick. In terms of the exhibitions question, starting with those, we see the market growing at around about 5%. I think that's pretty consistent across what it did in sort of 16 and 17. We are, you know, as initial start point for the year, targeting growth ahead of the market. That's not to say that we're expecting, you know, any particular slowdown from what we've achieved in 17, but as an initial starting point, we always look just to beat the market in exhibitions, and that's kind of what we're aiming for at the moment as we stand. In terms of the growth in the last 2 months of the year, the IPEX triennial occurs in that. So under the underlying growth calculation, what we do is we imagine that the previous event occurred in 2016, and therefore, in the 17 growth, you basically have that comparative in there. And IPEX is an event that has declined since the last edition, and has declined, you know, reasonably substantially. So it's in the print market. If you remember that one, it's in the sort of physical print market, which is a market that has seen quite a lot of pressure on the customers and end product in that market. So that event has been difficult, and that therefore is a material drag on the trading for the last 2 months of the year. In terms of GE, the overall sort of phasing of the events through the year is neutral at this stage of the year. Events do move around a bit more in the first half of the year, but at this 10-month period, overall there's no particular phasing effect in the numbers. And then on Penton, overall, we're pretty much on course for them. We're on track for that, I think. We wouldn't necessarily think we're going to beat the number overall on a net basis. We've got one or two areas where it is slightly outperforming, but we're looking to basically reinvest our performance in the business to consolidate the performance of the business going forward. So on a kind of net reported basis, you shouldn't expect us to come in ahead of the synergy number that we reported because of that reinvestment.
Okay, that's very helpful and reassuring on exhibitions. I think we can attribute the slowdown in Q4 to IPEX. I mean, to ask the question more obviously, if you like, your big exposure in the US has been building shows. I mean, how's your environment for building shows looking early into next year? It looks as though it's still in good shape.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's still in good shape. We had, I actually saw the head of that business in the run-up to this trading statement just to kind of get our view on where he felt things were. And, yeah, they're absolutely seeing the end market, the end construction market, pretty consistent and certainly not showing any particular slowdown. And we're also seeing the bookings at the particular shows in that sector. The World of the Concrete is obviously the largest, and that runs in January. And that business is well on course to deliver its targets for 2018. So, yeah, we're not seeing any particular slowdown in that space.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Next one, operator.
We will take our next question from Chris Collett of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, thanks for taking the questions. I just appreciate this is a sales update, but Gareth, you mentioned cash flow, so just wondering if you could give us an update, one on do you still expect to get to your target leverage range by the end of the year, and are you still confident of producing over $400 million of free cash flow this year? And then the other question I just had was you gave us this combined growth figure for global exhibitions and knowledge and networking, you said for comparison purposes, but is that just, are you warming us up for you going to recombine those two divisions back into one as they were previously?
Hi, Chris. So maybe let's do them in reverse order this time. No, we're not flagging anything or setting you up for a consolidation of those two divisions. We just felt it was a useful statistic because we do get asked, a bit about why are your, exhibition business, why are your exhibition growth numbers so far ahead of some of the peers? And one of the things we feel that's a dynamic in that is, the peers, some of them have conference numbers in the reported growth. So we just wanted to give you a sense of what the two were together. I still think it's a good growth number. But the mix effect obviously just brings it down a touch from what exhibitions reports on its own. But certainly there's no flagging here that we're about to sort of change the divisions or combine GE and K&N. It's just to give you a sense of the overall picture for our B2B events business. On leverage and free cash flow, yes, free cash flow, we think we're on course for our $400 million target for 2017 full year. Quite a lot of the cash comes in over the last 2 months because of the subscription renewals, particularly in academic publishing, but also a bit in BI, and also the cash receipts on accounts for the exhibitions that run early in 2018. So the next 2 months is quite a key period for the cash, but certainly at the moment we see no reason why we cannot get to the $400 million number that we flagged for the full year. In terms of leverage, that's probably going to be, I think, within the range of 2 to 2.5 times, but it'll be at the top end of that range. We have done the Dove acquisition, as we announced about a month ago or so, and I think overall, therefore, you should expect it to be around about sort of 2.5 times leverage at year end.
Great. Thank you.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks.
We will take our next question from Matthew Walker of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Hi, guys. Good morning. Could you first of all give us, just for comparability, so we've got for the record, could you give us the nine-month growth rates for the group and the various divisions, please? The second question is on the way you operate with open access. Do you operate so that you ask for processing charges on top of your journal subscriptions, or do you follow a sort of offset model where you're giving something up on the subscription price to the library in order to generate the APCs? What's your sort of philosophical and sort of practical attitude to that, please?
Shall I ask, come on that one sort of straight away? I mean, the truth is it varies by market, Matthew. Some markets try and enforce an offset model. It tends to work in small markets where there's very strong connection between funders and buyers, effectively institutions and funding bodies and so on. So you get small markets like, I think, Austria, Luxembourg, the Netherlands maybe even, where you tend to have those types of models, and where they're in place, where, you know, we will do agreements on that basis. And then in other markets, you don't have that. You have a much broader disconnect between them, and so sometimes you can find you can get APCs alongside subscriptions, particularly for individual articles, because quite often what will happen is a particular researcher will want to promote their work in open access, or maybe a condition of their funding is that it has to be published in an open access journal, but they want to be within the particular journal of repute in their area, and so they may pay a smaller fee in a hybrid model to make the article open access once the journal's published, but you still are generating subscription revenue on the overall journal. But it's a slightly dynamic moving feast that. I mean, there's no set way. It depends on the market.
And just coming back to you, Matthew, on the growth rate, yeah, with the nine-month period, we've been pretty consistent with what we reported the 10 months. We've just gone for the 10 months because the board meeting that signs off the statement as a practical matter was, a couple of weeks later in the year this year, and therefore we were able to get the October trading in there as well, which just gives you a bit more certainty because you only got 2 months to trade rather than 3 months to trade per the normal statement. So the numbers overall have been pretty consistent, and I think you can see the trend from sort of half year into these numbers and into full year guidance as also being all pretty consistent overall.
And just a quick follow-up on the exhibition side. You mentioned for next year your expectation was market growth of 5, and then you said you weren't signalling a particular slowdown in growth for your business. So does that mean we should expect something for 18, which is similar to the sort of roughly 8% that you're on track for this year, if you do the maths on the last 2 months?
I think that would be a result if we could do that, but I mean, I wouldn't model it at this stage. I think if you look at the last 3 or 4 years, we've obviously grown very strongly and become a much, much bigger business. I mean, you know, this business is unrecognizable to 4 or 5 years ago. So it gets harder to deliver that sort of level. Certainly feel we can do ahead of the market. I think consensus for the moment in underlying growth for GE next year is sort of 6, 6.5, something like that. Which I think is probably a sensible place to start and then see where we get to. We obviously have a lot in the first quarter, the first half, so I think at that point then we'll have a much better sort of confidence to give you more visibility about exactly where it might end up. But certainly ahead of the 5.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Woody.
We will take our next question from Natasha Brilliant of Citi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Morning, guys. A couple of questions on academic, please. First of all, there have been some more articles that one of your competitors is facing still some resistance from sort of German universities. I know at the half-year stage you said that wasn't something you'd come across, but I just wondered if that had changed at all in the last couple of months. And then secondly, on academic more broadly, next year, you haven't talked a great deal about it, so I just wondered, I know it's early days and a lot rests on Q4, but do you expect another year of modest positive growth, or do you anticipate doing a bit better than that?
Thanks, Natasha. I think on AP, on Germany specifically, I mean, there's not a lot we can say, but we have a contract in Germany, which I think we renewed back in December, pretty much in line with normal patterns. And so I would, and I believe actually it was a 3-year deal we struck then. So I don't think we have any issues. I think they're specific to the other party you're talking about. I think next year, I think again, we're not seeing shifts in the pattern in the market. So I think our going in expectation is for continued modest growth.
with a mix of journals still tracking at sort of 2, 3, 4% in that range, which it's been in previously, and in the books business sort of, you know, flattish with the lower level exposure we have, dragging a bit more, although it's getting smaller in the mix. So I think modest growth will be the way we think about next year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We will take our next question from Jonathan Helliwell of Panmure Gordon. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Morning. I think mine's been done, actually. But while I'm here, I will ask just back to knowledge and networking. I think there were three other small domestic businesses that you were reviewing, Australia, Brazil, Singapore. Could you just run us through where you've finished up on those? And also, I was interested in the way you talked about how you adjusted for IPEX. Am I hearing it correctly that you put basically a full triennial IPEX in this year and a full triennial IPEX in the comps last year? So, and don't divide it by three, effectively, so that in these once every 3 years, the IPEX calculation has quite a big impact on the numbers, assuming, you know, it declines quite significantly, as you're saying it does.
Hi, Jonathan. Yes,
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
What was the rough IPEX revenue number? So we can do the math.
Sorry, we've got a bit of an echo
on the line.
Make sure that's...
Apologies. How much is the IPEX revenues, roughly? So we can do...
It was about $5 million last time, and it's close. It's negligible this time round. So it's quite a big shift, but the numbers are relatively small. What it does mean in 3 years' time, if we still run it, it won't be much of a factor.
Okay, thanks.
But to be clear on the calculation, we do include the full $5 million in the previous 2016 comparative. We don't divide it by three.
I hear you. Thank you.
And they're not on the knowledge and networking bit. So yeah, there were four particular businesses that we flagged at year end as being up for consideration. The Germany Swiss business, which we have announced the completion of the disposal of in this trading statement. The Singapore and Australian businesses, which we reviewed, but felt that in the mix, we would hold on to those. They're good little businesses, and they've proven that actually they are not much of a distraction on management. They can run pretty independently, as they have done during the course of this year, and therefore we're going to look to retain those businesses. And then the final business was the Brazil business, which we closed down in the first half of the year. So we're now out of the conference market in Brazil.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, John.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Nick Dempsey of Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys. I've just got two questions left on academic. So first up, you've got a new CEO there. She's come from slightly outside the industry. I guess she's got ideas for reinvesting to improve the business somewhat. So how much room will you give her for investing next year? Or, in other words, how much of a margin dip might we expect in 2018? And second question is, any progress on your plan to sell Garland Science, which I think you mentioned earlier in the year?
The Garland process is ongoing. It's one that in terms of this sort of disposal, it takes a while just to get it set up because obviously it's a business that's completely integrated and operated as part of the wider academic publishing business. So when you kind of announce the intention to look at it, the first thing you want to do is kind of break it out operationally and begin to pull out exactly what is Garland, because in the long list of book titles, it's not immediately obvious. So quite a lot of work has to be done to set it up before you can start looking at a negotiation, and the negotiation kind of, that sort of work is ongoing at the moment. So we would look to have an answer, certainly by the time you get to the full year results, you'd look to have clarity over exactly what's going to happen to Garland at that stage. But the fact that we have not announced anything in this trading statement about it doesn't mean that the process is not still underway. And I say you should expect a further update in the full year results on that. In terms of Annie, yes, she has landed in the business and has joined from the 1st of July. And we are certainly looking for fresh ideas and input into that business, and some of that may involve investment. But what we've also been quite clear on to the business is we've used a phrase that we actually used, if you remember back to 2014, Stephen and I used a phrase of measured change, and that's kind of what we've talked to Annie and the business about, is we want to see evolution, but we want to see measured change because we're not looking for a step change in investment or in the cost base. And that's basically what we're looking to try and deliver in 18, is a bit of evolution in terms of the investment and how the business is positioning itself, but we're not looking for a real change in the margin, and therefore we wouldn't sort of flag anything at this stage for you to expect in terms of margin degradation in 18.
Great, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
As we appear to have no further questions, I would like to turn the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Great, thanks very much. Well, thanks everyone. Thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy day. We'll wrap up there. I'm around on the phone if you want to have a further chat, but for now we'll say goodbye. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.